This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, let's crack on. Bruno Mars with Cardi B and Finesse. Am I wrong to associate in my head? I always think of Cardi B and Skolopat in the same sort of category. Is that fair?
No.
Is that a compliment to Skolopat? Is it a compliment to Cardi B?
No, I mean, I don't really... No, I don't know.
Do you think they go together?
No, they don't. I mean, they're not even in the same financial bracket. Let's begin there.
Where does that come in? What do you see as a similarity with our dearest Skolopat?
They're very out there, both of them. They're very strident, and you know, they're not afraid to let it all hang out, so to speak.
Okay. I'll give you that.
No. I just, whenever I think of the one, I think of the other. It's probably because we really like Skolopat here, and we make a fuss of her whenever we can. So if we can compare her with an international artist of some repute, then we will.
And I'm still saying Queen Skolopat on Instagram. Ah, yes, sis.
Yeah,
what's putting it out there. Her new thing are just putting nude pictures of herself.
Look, that's fine. She's just tapping into...
Mubs.
A method that's worked since Nude Magazine.
Time immemorial.
Yeah, yeah. Nothing new here.
We had Stefan, one of our super fans from Germany, visit us last week, and he was so thrilled to sit on the Skolopat sofa outside.
Because
that's what it's called now.
We need to rename it now, actually.
It is. We should put a sign up, like a brass plaque on it, saying Skolopat sofa. All right, here's some interesting facts before we get into the news. Did you know that Mark Lamberti is the first man in South Africa to be the CEO of 3 listed companies?
Wow.
I didn't know that. Carl, that's interesting. I thought Justice explained the 783. It refers to the number of payments Zuma received. It doesn't mean each payment is a charge. Carl, thank you very much. He's giving us 2 bits of info there.
Okay, and that confuses what... Some reports are also saying as well, because some reports are saying that those 783 payments are between the former president and Shabir Sheikh.
Yes.
So, are there more payments from other people? But
this is only those.
And this was only, according to one of the reports we were discussing on Friday, this is only before, these are payments before 2009.
Yeah.
If it involves Shabir Sheikh.
Wow. All right, well, this is very, it's all, look, the
it's
point
technical.
Is, yeah, the point is this point man is, he's taken a lot of money.
Yeah.
And also, I don't really blame the system as well, because if just up until 2009 and there's 783, I'd be like, yeah, I also don't feel like counting. Let's just, let's boil it down to 16, let's focus on that.
All right. Very nice to hear Mabali's voice. Welcome back, Mabali. That's from R in Cape Town. Some love for Mubs this morning. And someone says, did you mention the Jimmy Kimmel making fun of Melania Trump's accent thing? No, we're going to talk about that just now, though. I've got it on my agenda. Don't panic.
Okay.
All right, but let's get into some news first. Mubs, where do you want to start?
Okay, so there is an outraged mother in Nottingham in the UK who has called for a ban on circumcision after a doctor performed the operation
on her
young son without her consent.
What?
Yeah, this is bizarre. She's a 29-year-old mother from Nottingham who says that her child was in so much pain that he couldn't wear a nappy, and she claims that he could have died during the unwanted procedure. She claims that nobody really gets the issue with circumcision and points out there are laws protecting girls from female genital mutilation, but none for the boys, which then brings an interesting question into the topic is, yes, should we be re-looking this whole circumcision thing on young boys? I can't believe this doctor performed the procedure without her consent. I mean, that is...
How do you make that slip up? There
I
must
don't know
be
how
something
that,
more
I don't know how that happens.
Yeah. I mean, doctors never decide that stuff, right?
No, I mean, the parents are supposed to issue that instruction, aren't they?
You'd think.
Well, seemingly not in this case.
And some people would even say the parents shouldn't. But we don't go down that road this morning.
Oh, right.
Well, she is now taking legal action against the doctor who carried out the procedure without her approval, obviously, as she should.
Yeah. Sue the pants off him.
Yeah, she added, somebody needs to be held accountable for what they are doing to little boys. Yeah. So again, you know, with when it's done on girls, it's called genital mutilation, and then when it's done on boys, it's called circumcision.
Yeah.
But is it still a form of mutilation? Is the question that's
well,
been asked.
Well, you know,
here.
A lot of people will say no, it isn't. But actually, my problem is just that it's a bodily integrity thing. If you're a young child and you have no say in this, like most young kids who are circumcised, maybe you didn't want to have a circumcision. Then later on in life, you can't get it back.
Mm.
You know? And similarly, if you do want one as an adult later on, you can always get one.
Mm.
But I don't think that anyone, for cultural or religious or any other reason, should be doing this to young children. It's none of your business. Leave their genitals alone.
But that is
you fucking creep.
But that is precisely why they do it, Gareth. They do it because of religious conditioning.
And the reason that they used to do it, the reason it crept up in religion, might have been a health thing. Some people say that that's valid, but in the modern world, it's not really valid. Second of all, they say it's because they wanted to, and this is probably the truth, I don't know, but they wanted to dull that person's sex drive, to somehow stunt that kind of desire in them, which is why they do it to women, especially in the countries where they practice female genital mutilation. I don't know how we can have, as Mumps points out already, double standards. When it comes to girls, we call it female genital mutilation. When it comes to boys, we just call it, you know, oh, it's perfectly normal, it's circumcision. I don't have a position on this. Like I said, I'm not particularly phased either way, but if you get to choose, I'm happy. As the kid, you should choose when you're old enough.
Again, you know, a lot of parents firmly believe that, well, it's my child and I am well within my rights to decide for it up until a point where I no longer have to make certain decisions for the child.
And those are the same people who often say, I made you, I'll break you.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the most vicious, horrible thing to say to
someone.
Well,
I mean, it's like, it's almost, they almost make it sound as if your child is your property, sort of.
Well,
and maybe your child is your property.
Right.
I don't know. They own you. They made you.
Do what you want. Do what you want. Just don't hurt other people. That's the only thing I like to do, is just don't hurt other people. So if you feel that it's important for your religion, you practice your religion and foist your religion on your child. Maybe they don't want it. How many kids grow up and they decide at some age, if they're in a country where they can, and in a family where they can, they decide at some age, I don't want to believe in what my parents believed in. Is that so threatening to you if you're a parent? Do you need to, I mean, you need to physically enforce this stuff with them? I don't know. I know lots of people who are very happy that they were circumcised young. I know a lot of people who are very unhappy about it. Like I said, I'm not particularly fazed, as long as it's up to the individual in question. Just don't go chopping at anyone's genitals without them saying so. That would be nice. You're girl or boy, how about that? We just make that a rule. Sounds sensible to me.
Then I just feel, what are some parents meant to do if they're doing it with the best of intentions?
Well, they're not. They're doing what their ancestors did and what their grandfathers and their grandmothers and their great-grandfathers and great-mothers. They're not asking themselves, is this really the best for my child? They're just doing what everyone's always done. You know, we used to do stupid stuff to each other because our traditions dictated it. Sometimes you need to reevaluate those traditions. And sometimes you need to just take it back to basic principles, that's all. I'm just very annoyed that there's this doctor who made this decision for the parent without her even being involved.
Yeah, no, he deserves to be... He deserves to have bad things happen to him.
All right, so Jimmy Kimmel was mocking Melania Trump's accent. I mean, I've mocked Melania Trump's accent, but I mock everybody, so I'm not putting myself out there some kind of, you know, equal... rights defender here, and she does have a funny accent. She's from Slovenia.
Story. This is the Easter egg.
Yeah, let's listen.
Move on to this story. This is the Easter egg hunt. On Monday, the White House held that 140th Easter egg roll. But take a look at how late night host Jimmy Kimmel responded to the First Lady reading a book to the children.
Never stop exploring, because life would be boring. Be clever and curious, just like a cat. Ask lots of questions about this and that.
About these and that. Guillermo, you realize what this means? You could be First Lady of the United States.
Wow. So where's the outrage over Jimmy Kimmel making fun of Melania Trump's accent here?
All right. So again.
So there was no outrage. And they're asking, where is it?
Well, they're saying, why is there no outrage about that? But if you had to mock like a Mexican worker's accent in a late night TV show, there'd be piles and piles of shit coming down on you.
Oh, okay.
So here's Sean Hannity of Fox News, who doesn't like Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy Kimmel doesn't like him. The long and short of it is that after this, Jimmy Kimmel actually apologized, which is interesting because I don't know that he had to. But let's listen to what Sean Hannity says and see if you agree. I mean, I like to hear what different people think of different things here. So.
And that is tonight's breaking news opening monologue.
Oh, the breaking news opening monologue.
Let me say this at the start of the show tonight. I am going after Jimmy Kimmel tonight. We're going to pound him with his own words. And I'm going to tell you something. This is not something I prefer to do on this show. I don't take joy in this, but I have just had it with the utter hypocrisy, the unrelenting attacks against not only a sitting president, but his wife and his daughter and his 11-year-old son, the First Lady of the United States. Really? This never ends. It needs to end. This is not about politics. This isn't Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal. It's way bigger than Sean Hannity or Jimmy Kimmel. What we have is Jimmy Kimmel attacking an innocent woman in this case, Melania Trump, for reading a book to children. This has to end. So tonight we're throwing down the gauntlet on this show because I'm not going to sit here and look at smears against innocent people who are just trying to serve their country and teach children and make the world a better place. And to be clear, I'm not in the business of silencing Kimmel. I don't want Jimmy Kimmel boycotted. I don't like his show, but if you want to watch it, go watch it. And Jimmy, if you're half the man you pretend to be, all you really have to do is apologize to the First Lady. So here's where we're at tonight. Now, the self-anointed beacon of all things right, all things decent, all things humane in this world, Jimmy Kimmel is now taking shots at me. Now, the reason doesn't come as a surprise because Kimmel is upset because we called out his hypocrisy. Because he was viciously mocking Melania Trump's accent while she was reading to a bunch of kids. Now, keep in mind, English is not her first, second, third, fourth language. It's her fifth language. Take a look.
I want to really thank the First Lady, Melania, who has done an incredible job. She worked so hard on this event, and so I want to thank you.
Yeah. That's good. Not a chance she did one thing to help set that up. There's no... She didn't die egg. She didn't feel bad. The only thing she's been working on is an escape tunnel. No White House Easter celebration would be complete without story time from our First Lady.
Never stop exploring.
Now, by the way, there's a lot of parallels here. You know, you get those people who say that some of the people on South African news or TV or radio, that they don't pronounce things properly. You get those people who say, oh, your accent is terrible, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. but it's their fourth or fifth language as well. So bear that in mind when you think about Melania Trump here reading this, because it is her fifth language. It's pretty impressive, actually, how many languages she can speak. More than Donald.
Would be boring. Be clever and curious, just like a cat. Ask lots of questions about this and that.
About these and that. Guillermo, you realize what this means? You could be First Lady of the United States.
Pathetic and petty, and it needs to stop. Now imagine if a conservative said any of this. Liberals, they'd be foaming at the mouth, feigning their moral outrage. Now, like most bullies, Jimmy Kimmel is thin-skinned. Make one joke about the guy, and he loses his mind for 5 minutes on his show, and he has been freaking out all day. So in response to all of that and this disgusting display, well, I called Jimmy Kimmel a despicable disgrace. And, of course, that set the holier-than-thou Hollywood elitist off. Take a look.
I open my computer and find out I'm at war with Sean Hannity in Fox News. For 8 years, while Obama was president, he was unable to get an erection. For 8 years, not one erection. Now that Trump is president, here's the twist. Sean Hannity is unable to have anything but an erection. Okay? He's had an erection since November of 2016, and it's driving him mad. He's lost his mind.
No, my mind's right here. A couple of things. Number one, Jimmy Kimmel, you're really creepy and perverted. And the video evidence that we're going to show you in just a few minutes will explain a lot about Jimmy Kimmel. Secondly, and this is important, Kimmel is just stealing a page from the fake news media and lying about what I said about Roy Moore. All Jimmy had to do was a little research, and he would find out that I was the one that repeatedly pressed Roy Moore over and over again for an hour on my radio show about multiple allegations against him. And I forced Roy Moore to respond. And by the way, his response didn't help him. So, Jimmy, you want to attack me, you go right ahead, but facts actually matter. Now, last night, Jimmy also tweeted a vulgar, obscene, mock photo of me that was so creepy and perverted, even by Jimmy's standards, that he had to take it down. Here's the thing about this sanctimonious bully. He doesn't just go after people like me who highlight his hypocrisy. I'm fine with that. He routinely bashes, nonstop, all Republicans, even the First Lady, really, of the United States of America. I don't care that you're a liberal, Jimmy. I know that, well, you kissed Obama's ass and so on and so forth. That's fine. Keep in mind, this is a guy who preaches from his high horse night after night after night about just how righteous and just he really is.
Isn't that what Sean Hannity does?
I mean, I was just going to say. You know,
these two hate each other because they're so similar.
Gosh.
Except the one guy's funny and the other one isn't.
Like, this John, what's his name, John?
Sean Hannity.
This Sean Hannity has found a convenient vehicle, being Melania Trump, to get on his high horse and to preach and to be sanctimonious himself.
But am I the only one finding all of this so unnecessary?
Childish, right?
Firstly, it's not even funny that Jimmy was making fun of Melania. Of course she's going to sound like that because that's just her accent and that's the way she speaks. And then, Sean, if you really are so taken by what Jimmy has said and you really think he's so stupid, why stoop low to his level? You're now giving him the time of day over and over.
I don't know.
I just find that we're getting so low with the state of the world. You know, if... fine, you disagree with someone. That doesn't mean you have to now go out and...
Also, can we not make a joke? Like, Melania sounds not like a lot of Americans. Therefore, it is a noteworthy thing. It is not being disrespectful and full of hypocrisy and mean and nasty to mock her accent. It's a funny accent.
No, but I will have to say as well, it's not smart humor.
Well, of course
so
not.
If we're critiquing...
Neither is the audience... The watches a late
laughing
night show.
At it. There we go.
You know?
So if we were to, the only critique I would put is that Jimmy as a comedian, that was not funny.
I mean, look, yes, Melania does not sound like a lot of Americans, but she speaks four times as many languages as the average American.
Right.
There we go.
So I think on that alone, she's probably better than most Americans to begin with.
Well, it's just all very, very funny because I like when these guys who are in media and who are... You see how he calls, Sean Hannity keeps saying that Jimmy Kimmel's thin-skinned, but he's the same. They're the same. They look at each other, they see what they see in the mirror.
But also, you know, let's not forget that, you know, Jimmy Kimmel, whether you find him funny or not, at the end of the day, he had a bunch of writers get together around some desk. They jotted down a few lines and then they thought, okay, you know what, Jimmy, we've decided this one is the one that's going to work for you. It went up on his auto-cue/teleprompter that night, he started mouthing it off. That's what it is. It's a show that he does that gets put together by a bunch of writers for jokes.
Right, he probably doesn't even care about
it. For jokes.
Which aren't funny.
Right.
I mean, that's why I said whether you find him funny or not.
Right. He might walk off the stage at the end of the show and not even remember what he said.
Yeah.
That happens.
Yeah,
and then after a meeting with, you know... management, they then decide, well, you know what, Jimmy, it's best if you go out and apologize, and so that's what he's done. Like, it's all just part of the big cog, the big machine.
Right.
Keep it moving.
Thank you very much.
So Trump hasn't said anything in response.
Remarkably.
That I'm liking this Trump. Yeah. I'm liking this Trump who does not respond to things.
To every little thing.
Yes. Maybe Stormy Daniels was the one who finally taught him the lesson, but he's kept quiet around
Where
that.
Where are we on Stormy Daniels, by the way?
Well,
we need a Stormy Daniels
update. She was on 60 Minutes. She had some interesting things to say about there.
And he didn't respond on that.
No, he didn't.
And then one of his people have just said that Trump did not know anything about the payment.
Yeah.
Well, okay, he didn't know, but
his lawyer made the payment. Yeah. Do you want to hear what she said? Just a little bit of what she said about Trump and what he likes to do in the bedroom. Maybe you're interested in this. You interested?
It might set off your gag reflex, but okay. Come on. Just hold on.
Let's give it a go, Sia. Don't be so closed-minded, Sia. Don't you want to know what Trump is up to?
I was in a parking lot going to a fitness class with my infant daughter. I was taking, you know, the seats facing backwards in the...
No.
And why that stopped?
Stormy.
Yeah, she's Stormy. She says Stormy, she stopped the play. Oh, God.
Backseat, diaper bag, you know, getting all the stuff out. And a guy walked up on me and said to me, leave Trump alone, forget the story. And then he leaned around and looked at my daughter and said, a beautiful little girl, it'd be a shame if something happened to her mom. And then he was gone.
You took it as a direct threat.
Absolutely. I was rattled. I remember going into the workout class and my hands were shaking so much I was afraid I was going to drop her.
Jeez, how's that for a story? That's the part that nobody's really focused on. People are all talking about what she and Trump got up to.
Well, I will tell you that her attorney, Michael Avenatti, once again filed a motion to depose the president, as well as his lawyer, Michael Cohen, because they want to ask questions about that $130,000 payment that was made, and it was filed Sunday evening in California. So they want the president to be deposed.
This is in no way me trying to discredit her, because at the end of the day, she's a person and she experienced something allegedly, and she's going on speaking about her side. But lest we forget, this is a woman pushing 40 who has made her income using her body in porn films. And I just feel like now they are doing anything to cling onto attention and publicity. And
what she is?
It's still, okay, like...
No, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
You know, I'm getting tired of this simply because I now see no sense in it. Okay, so you've spoken out, and then what? I'm now seeing that she's going to side with some women's organization, and then she's going to write a book, and then she's going to go on a book tour.
Well, this is her. This is a big opportunity.
Yeah, this is her moment. Because now, okay, cool. You know, Trump isn't batting an eyelid to this anymore. We have, I think it's safe to say, we've accepted. You think Trump slept with you, and that's it. Let's move on. You know, she's still harping on and on and on and on and on about this, and it's getting kind of tired.
So if it had been Hillary in office currently, none of this would be happening, you don't think?
Well, she didn't sleep with Hillary, definitely.
We don't know.
No, what I'm saying is, if Hillary had been the one to become president, you don't think Stormy Daniels would today be going after Trump like this, because then he wouldn't be in office.
Regardless of whether Trump is in the office or not, I think the story has just gone on for so long. And I think they'll carry on with these jabs. And now they'll, you know, as you were saying, their new fight is fighting where this money came from and blah, blah. Like, I just feel like...
I got a way more interesting story to get on.
They're punching on.
Stormy Daniels, look, however, you know how this is going to go from here on in. It's going to be... I always said, these are two adults, consenting adults, who decided that they were going to do something. Let's just leave it alone. Mm. It would not be a story if it weren't the president of the United States. And Bill Clinton, when he was president, was doing this with Monica Lewinsky in the Oval Office, and it was as much of a big deal. So
I don't think it's as much of a big deal now.
Well,
actually,
what people got to do, just grow up. Other people are having sex.
And sometimes they're not having sex with their partners.
And sometimes it's none of your business.
They're having sex with other people and sometimes their partners.
And if you were a rich businessman in New York who wasn't going to get by on his looks and you had money, you'd also be meeting up with adult film stars.
Yes, you would.
Really?
Well, maybe you wouldn't.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, not more models, perhaps.
Perhaps.
More. Well, maybe a mixture of everything.
Okay.
Here's an interesting story. The Commonwealth Games transgender ticking time bomb has exploded the day before New Zealand gold medal favorite Laurel Hubbard is scheduled to compete. I don't know if you know about this, but Laurel Hubbard is a formerly a man who's transitioned into a woman.
Okay.
And Laurel Hubbard is taking part now in the weightlifting competition.
Okay.
Oh.
With women.
Okay.
Even though Laurel's formerly a man.
Right.
Laurel's much bigger and much stronger than all the other women. And because we have to be politically correct these days, she is about to win this prestigious international women's weightlifting competition, thereby disadvantaging every female competitor.
Okay.
It's perverse. It's the wrong way around.
You know what I want to know? I need to be educated on. So when people begin hormone replacement therapy, mm-hmm. and in this case with Lauren, it would have been a case of...
Laurel. She's very beautiful, by the way.
In this case with Laurel, I imagine it would involve suppressing testosterone levels, and all of that stuff, like da-da-da-da-da-da. I'd love to know how much of a change hormone therapy has on one's biology. And this is where,
take a look at Laurel and you tell me.
And this is where a medical person needs to come in, because obviously none of us can answer this question with authority right now.
Sorry, I'm still just looking at a picture of Laurel.
Laurel, here's the problem. Ooh. It doesn't matter about any of that stuff. She has the muscle mass of a man.
Mm.
She has the, and she only transitioned apparently a few years ago.
So she has the muscle memory of a man.
Yes, correct. And now there are a whole lot of women who are, these are women of good faith, mm-hmm. who have made a life out of weightlifting. It's a strange choice for a lot of women.
No,
but these girls have.
Don't say that. You are on such a good start.
Okay, so
backtrack.
No, I'm not going to. So these women are now going to become weightlifters, and they've spent their life training. And God knows, this Commonwealth Games might have been their big shot, right? Mm-hmm. This could be their chance to score gold.
Sure.
So all of these women, who are women, who have always been women, are competing, and they think, well, it's fair is fair. I'm going to compete against other women. Some of them may be a little bit bigger or smaller than me. Some of them may have trained harder than me. But it's a fair competition. I'm going to go in.
Yes.
Then Laurel comes in and just pushes all of these women to the side, because Laurel's way bigger and way stronger, and Laurel just fucks them all up.
Mm-hmm.
How would you feel if you were the woman who came second or third?
I'd be pissed, incensed.
Yeah, you would, right?
Mm.
Talk about inequality. Talk about unfairness. Now, political correctness and this transgender stuff that we're all expected to understand these days, and I've said before, after interviewing people who have transitioned, that I am still struggling to understand some of it. Some of it doesn't make sense to me. And there's this huge spectrum of people that goes from people who say it's a mental illness, like a body dysmorphia, and then there are the people at the other end who say, no, it's a lifestyle choice. And there's everything in between.
Mm.
And I'm not going to judge. What I will say is that in this case, it seems to me very unfair to actual women who are in the competition and who've been put together in the competition because of their gender, to have to compete with someone who formerly was a male, whose gender has changed by their own design.
Sure.
That doesn't seem fair to me.
So what is being said about Laurel in this particular story? Are the other competitors complaining about her? Are the Commonwealth people being forced to relook her participation in the games? Because, you know, that's the follow-up question is, then do we say Laurel is not allowed to compete?
Well, no, the Commonwealth Games officials have repeatedly declared their support for Laurel's inclusion in the event, despite a 40-year-old having previously competed internationally on the men's weightlifting circuit under the name Gavin, which is the same as Gavin used to, you know.
Okay.
Laurel used to be Gavin.
Yes.
So he took part as a male before.
Right.
He's 40 years old. She repeatedly made her... Sorry.
No, we're...
Hubbard. Let me just say Hubbard. That's the surname. I don't have to use the fucking name Laurel.
Gavin or Laurel.
Gavin.
Mm-hmm.
Hubbard reportedly made her transition to become a woman at the age of 35, and she satisfied every criteria under the Commonwealth Games rules to qualify for the women's lifting event.
You see, now, these criteria, what are the criteria? What are the criteria?
I don't know.
And they need to take in actual medicine and biology into consideration, I'm assuming.
Well, Australia and several other rival federations have claimed Hubbard has an unfair advantage, having transitioned to a woman just 5 years ago. She became eligible to compete as a woman after showing testosterone levels below the threshold required by the International Olympic Committee.
Did you see why I was asking about hormones?
Yeah.
Okay.
She won two silvers at the World Champs in Anaheim in December. Her expected success and potential to inspire has led a push in New Zealand for Hubbard to be given the honor of carrying the flag and leading the team into the stadium during the closing ceremony. The New Zealand Herald's Chris Shannon wrote on Sunday that selecting Hubbard for the role of flag bearer would be the perfect inspirational bookend to New Zealand's campaign after Paralympic swimmer Sophie Pascoe was given the honor for the opening ceremony at Carrara Stadium. There, that's all we've got, ladies and gentlemen.
Take away the showmanship and the PR stunt of it all. Let's just look at the facts.
Again, how do these other women feel?
Exactly.
They're the ones who... This doesn't affect any of us or the transgender community nearly as much as it affects those women who are legitimately competing in the Commonwealth Games.
Mm, and there's prize money attached right. to gold, first place, second place, all of that.
Please call me out if I'm wrong or mistaken in any way, but it is an unfair advantage.
Of course it is. So, but you say that, you're politically incorrect.
How?
Here's someone who says, a man who's had 30 years of testosterone, bone density, and muscle adaptation changes gender and wins. That is deeply unfair.
Mm. Yeah. And this is really, she evidently still has this massive muscle memory, and she looks... Like she has the body of a
man.
Man.
Yes, but don't you dare say that.
And no, that does not say we think she's a horrible person or we're making fun of her. All I'm saying is if you squint, you see Mrs. Trunchbull from Matilda. Anyway.
Right. Anyway, all right. Here's something interesting. You know, we opened up Telegram the other day. You can use Telegram if you want to talk to us because Lesiba has started using Telegram. He says, good morning, guys. I'm trying out Telegram to send you this message before I remove myself from the apps owned by that deceitful lizard, Mark Zuckerberg.
Oh.
When you delete your accounts, do the backups remain? Next, I'm leaving Google. Thanks for the wonderful show. P.S. Are you having a party bash or competition for the 4th birthday? Regards, Lesiba. Yeah, actually, we are planning some things. I'll be sure to let you know. Our birthday, of course, the 1st of May, but we may celebrate something a little bit later in the month of May. Mm-hmm. You know, like have an official birthday and an unofficial birthday. But there we go, Lesiba. And you can use Telegram and you can get hold of us on the same number, 079-748-2090.
Here's something interesting since there was a Mark Zuckerberg reference already. We've heard all of the over 87 million Facebook users around the world were affected by the issue. But in South Africa, do you know that it was actually 33 users? Let me give you a backstory. So you know how all of this hacking and information taking came into play. It was through a personality quiz app on Facebook.
Correct.
That was back in 2013. And so through the app, that was how they were able to get data on a bunch of us on Facebook.
And there's a third-party group called Cambridge Analytica.
Yes. Yeah. So actually, in South Africa, only 33 people downloaded and played the app.
Hmm.
So we can now point fingers to only 33 people who brought this and spread this in South Africa. And because of those 33, they have a network, a combined network of 59,000 friends. And that's how this was able to creep to 59,000.
So even here, 59,000 people eventually got it.
Yeah, that is 60,000 people. That's done
I got it from Mabali.
Yeah. I'm not. I disabled my account a while ago, so I am going to sit this one out.
Listen, this is becoming a thing here.
I know what to know. Let's get those 33 and just pinpoint them.
At this party over the weekend, I must have had the same conversation with three or four people who also are thinking of getting off of social media.
But are they doing it because of this new data breach story surrounding Mark Zuckerberg?
They're just tired of it.
You see, my thing was there was a point where I hadn't been on Facebook for a year. Yeah. I hadn't even logged onto my page. So I thought, okay, well, there's no point in this existing anymore. Right. I'm not using it.
Yeah, I think people are leaving. Death to the lizard, says someone. It might just be Lesiba who's trying Telegram out this morning. Hey, guys, does the lady weightlifter story compare with our own Costa Semenya? Well, you see, this is it. And that's why I brought it up. Because are there going to be people who say, well, Costa Semenya has a very interesting biology herself.
Mm.
And we have had various scientists and doctors say, well, she does seem to have, you know, hormonal differences that make her exceptional. And there are going to be people who say that it puts other female competitors at a disadvantage when they run against her. So just be very careful when you say that this is politically correct and that's politically incorrect and that this is biology and this is fact and this is not, because you could end up shooting yourself in the foot. And remember when she did take part in the last, it might even have been the Commonwealth Games the last time around. It could have been the Olympics, I'm not sure. There were a lot of people, particularly people outside of South Africa, who tend to be objective about these things because we're attached to it because it's us.
And it's Caster Semenya.
And it's Caster Semenya. So we take it personally. They were saying, no, this shouldn't be allowed.
It's tricky. There's so many gray areas because with Laurel, there was an actual transition. Mm-hmm. Whereas with Caster Semenya, she was just born.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So things like that will then also have to be taken into consideration.
Yeah. I mean, as far as I know, Caster hasn't transitioned.
No. So
it's very complex.
Let's all admit that it is complex.
And that we don't know the answers. It used to be very simple. You you were in the male category or in the female category. Now there are people who can go between the two. And maybe that is or isn't something that we need to take seriously. For some people, it is their life. They've decided they don't want to be a man or a woman anymore. Or they've always been a man or a woman, but they've been in the wrong body. You know, there are different ways of explaining this, and it's very hard. That's why I said earlier, I don't know. I always get it wrong. Maybe occasionally I get it right, but it's so complex.
So then should we just admit defeat when organizations like the Commonwealth or the Olympics or any of these people who ultimately are the ones that have to make the call at the end of the day, they either have to allow Caster Semenya to participate or not. They have to allow Laurel to participate or not. Then they set their list of criteria. And when they've made the decision, does that mean that the rest of us should just shut up and deal with it?
Well, that's it. Like, let the International Olympic Committee or the Commonwealth Games Board or whatever it is decide what their rules are, and then they must enforce them. And if they've got a threshold for hormones, fine. Then everybody who's in that category needs to accept this is the competition you're entering.
Mm.
You know? It might not always be to your liking. It might not be to your advantage, but that's the rule. That's how we're going to play it. What else is in the news?
We have been speaking of Zuckerberg, and it's going to be a big week for him this coming week. Firstly, today...
By the way, he said over the weekend, you signed those terms and conditions. Don't carry on like you don't know.
Yeah, well...
I told you what you would be in for here.
We did sign them, though.
But who read them? Did you read them?
Nobody reads terms and conditions, but we still sign them, and that's... That's how they trick us, is the fine print.
So as much as we all hate Mark Zuckerberg, he's got a point.
Yeah.
You don't check when it comes to those terms and conditions. You don't read the manual. You don't read the book. Pages and pages of stuff. You scroll down to the bottom, agree in.
Also, we're the ones who willingly put up information about ourselves on these platforms.
Absolutely.
It's not done to us under duress.
Right.
We log on there and we're like, I am going to share 90% of my life with the world.
Right. Deal with it.
Anyway, the Facebook CEO, Mark Zuckerberg, is going to be holding meetings with some of the U.S. lawmakers today. And this is a day before he is due to appear at congressional hearings over the political consultancy's use of customer data. The planned meetings at Capitol Hill are expected to continue throughout this afternoon. It will include some lawmakers from committees before whom Zuckerberg is due to testify. That is going to be playing out tomorrow and on Wednesday, I think. So he's scheduled to appear before a joint hearing of the U.S. Senate Judiciary and Commerce Committee on Tuesday. And then on Wednesday, he's set to go before the U.S. House Energy and Commerce Committee.
That sounds so boring.
Yeah, it does sound boring. And remember, these are the same lawmakers who are hoping that then the Twitter guy will follow. Like, he'll also come in.
Oh, right. Jack Dorsey. They're
Jack
gonna bring
Dorsey,
him in as well.
They want him in as well. Who else do they want? There's a third one that they want, I think. Is it Google? Yes. They want the CEO of Google to also come in.
I was fantasizing. Like, what if Twitter and Facebook just shut down? Like, they just immediately, like, you went into your account, it didn't exist anymore. Twitter's gone. Mm. Imagine it was just gone. I don't know. I think I'd be perfectly okay with that.
I think a lot of people would lose their minds.
Well, a lot of people's lives are wrapped up in that, huh?
Yes.
They exist on Twitter. That's where they live.
Yeah.
they're a big deal on Twitter. In real life, they're like living in their parents' house.
Apparently, there was some other issue over the weekend with, for a lot of people, their Twitter just wasn't working. I wasn't aware of it because I'm also not on there a lot. But yeah, there was another glitch or whatever. But I imagine a lot of people would, their heads would explode.
Yeah.
If they suddenly wasn't Twitter and Facebook.
They wouldn't know what to do.
They wouldn't know what to do.
Let's throw Instagram in there too. And Snapchat. Ooh, while we're, just throw them all
but
in.
But all the slay queens, Gareth. I know. How will we know that they are hot if they're not on Instagram?
The slay queens. Who were we talking to about slay queens the other day? Oh, it was Tumi Morake. You missed Tumi the other day, Mubs. She was so funny about the slay queens. You got to listen to that interview. It was 2 weeks ago, so go and download that podcast. Tumi Morake was in here to promote her new show. All right, what else? So much going on. Apparently Justice has written an interesting article about Zuma's rebel alliance that is about to turn nasty, he says. And brace yourself for chaos. So there's something going on.
Does this have anything to do with a new political party, apparently, that's going to be formed soon, and this is partly in alliance with the former president? I remember reading something along those lines, but it wasn't anything that was confirmed.
Don't put anything past this former president of ours. This guy is, he's just unbelievable. All right, so let's go to Rich Mulholland. It's time for us to check in with him. And Rich, good morning to you, sir. How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you doing?
I feel like I haven't spoken to you in months.
No, it has been a while.
How are you, man? Good. What's news?
Well, I've been traveling a lot and off again soon. So that's the main news, and I guess partially the topic of what I wanted to talk about today.
Sure.
Okay, so here's the thing. I'm doing a video on this, but I wanted to chat about it here first. It's one of my more positive, cheesy ones. So
all right.
If you want.
No, I like that. But, you know, it's occasionally because people, we don't want people to start thinking that you're a cynic or anything.
Yeah, I hate it. It was starting to ruin my Sundays. I was going, you know, every Sunday afternoon, I was trying to think of something that I'm angry about. It's not the best way to start the week.
All right.
Anyway, so I was flying a few weeks ago. I was doing a small speaking tour in the US, and I was flying on the Wednesday or the Tuesday night. I landed on the Wednesday morning in London to board my flight to New York. I would have been landing in New York on Wednesday at midday and speaking at 5 p.m. And when I landed in London, there was a snowstorm in New York City and all the flights had been canceled.
Right.
So I was going to miss my first gig, and I was so stressed. And I was sitting on a plane thinking, because I got the SMS as I turned on my plane when I landed, I was thinking, ah, crap, what am I going to do? And I do this thing every morning where I kind of decide on a new day's resolution, and I was thinking about it, and I thought, okay, I'm not going to stress about this. Today is going to be a zero stress day. I've decided that there's nothing that stress is going to do to help, so I am refusing to stress about a single thing today. And that's what I did. It was the most unbelievable thing. I went to the counter, and I stood there, and this guy said to me, no, sorry, this is what's happened. All the flights are canceled. So I messaged my assistant, and I explained to her what went on, and to please contact the client. And then I waited in the line. They booked me on another flight that would get me there later, but the same day, but like midnight. And I had to wait in that queue for the other airline to get it. So I waited there, and it was long. It was like at least an hour. And then just when I was about four people away from the front, they announced that they'd canceled their flight.
Oh, yeah.
And I had to go to the original queue again. And I went back to the original queue, and by now everyone's shouting and screaming at these people. And I took out this meditation app, and I did this weird standing meditation in the queue. I must have looked like a – and I just stood there, and I kind of smiled at myself. Then I get to the front of the counter, and it was the same guy who'd helped me in the first place. And I said to him what's happened, and he was apologizing. I said, dude, don't apologize to me. There's absolutely nothing. I appreciate it. It's hard. Anyways, then he got up from his table and he started running around to all the other airlines, trying to find me a seat in somebody else's plane. Eventually got me, I did nothing. He was just kind of running, trying to sort it out.
Yes.
Got me a plane to DC. And here's what happened is that I eventually, like a couple of hours later, I got onto a plane to Washington. The next day I got a bus to New York City. And the client understood, obviously, I mean, every school was closed in New York, every train, every bus, everything. So they completely understood. They moved the gig to the next day. Nobody was upset. Everyone was worried and thankful about me. And what I realized is I could have decided to be stressed that day.
Mm.
That stress is absolutely a decision.
Yes.
This was me missing a speaking gig. Somebody had paid me to fly halfway across the world, and I wasn't going to make it. But stressing about it would have done absolutely nothing to help. It was a zero help emotion.
In fact, standing in that queue doing your meditation while all these other people were losing their minds around you must have felt very good. It must have felt like, wow, I don't have to get myself dirty in all of this craziness and chaos and anger and madness. I can just stay apart from it.
I mean, that was exactly kind of what was going through my head is how can you – and then, of course, you start observing the situation as an outsider. So when I was stressed and upset, if I was standing in that queue, I would have been, one of the masses of people, like getting irritated with this bullshit of the flights. But, of course, logically, what are we talking about here? Like a snowstorm caused planes to be canceled. How can shouting at somebody in London Heathrow Airport – so then you start seeing them for what they are. And then, like, you actually start, I started getting stressed about the people getting stressed with the people. But then I realized, well, I made it a zero stress day, so I'm not even going to get irritated by them. This is their shit. I'm not going to carry their bags for them. I'm not going to let any part of their stress and emotion go into mine. But since then, it's been such a realization for me that when I start getting stressed about things, I just tell myself that stress is a decision. It's not something that like, oh, this is stressful. It is right. I am making this stressful. And it's a purely and utterly a decision. And I've been able to turn on and off like a switch. I've been able to, when there is a situation that I may find stressful for any particular reason, I simply remind myself that stress is a decision. And I'm actually able to turn it off. And I can't believe that it's taken me 43 years to figure this shit out.
Okay,
to figure out that it's an emotion you can turn off and you can rather choose rationality.
Rich, this is great. It's an epiphany, but people want to know practical ways to make this happen because when you're in that situation, you've got a commitment that you've been, excited to do or that you're stressed about and that you're worried about, and then things get in the way and flights are canceled and, you hit a pothole or something. People need to know how to bring themselves out of that, because it's all good and well. You've taken how many 40-something years to figure this out. Help us short-circuit this so that we can get there immediately. What is the app? What was the thinking? How do you actually stop yourself from being caught up in everybody else's craziness?
So I think I actually announced it originally here last year, and I challenged you guys. And I've done it every single day since then, is that I knew my New Year's resolution was going to fail. And so I decided to try and change the rules and to build failure into it. So I started a thing called doing a new day's resolution. And if I can get through 5 new day resolutions in a week out of the 7, then I count the week as a win. If I can get through 3 weeks in a month, I count the month as a win. And if I'll get through 10 months of the year, I'll count the year as a win. So far, by the way, I've only missed 2 weeks. I've had 2 failed weeks this year, and it's week 14 ended yesterday. And so what's happened is I've built a practice out of focusing on something for the day. And as soon as I've started doing that, as soon as I've started practicing, focusing something, eat this many calories, get to inbox 0, don't stress, whatever, I've become quite mindful of it, and it becomes a very front of mind thing for me for the rest of the day. Just because I decided when I woke up that that's what it's going to be. So I became intentional. Every day I am intentional about something. Right? Every day there is a goal, a victory condition, and every night or every following morning at least, I mark off whether I did that right or not. And that's just it. I mean, I wish I could say there was some amazing I've simply turned a daily victory into a habit. I've given myself a challenge for the day, and as such, I forced my brain to say, oh, what am I trying to do today? Oh, you're trying to drink 2.5 liters of water. Cool. Order water. And these are the kind of things that I've done. And it was because of this that I was able to, because I've programmed my brain to keep my daily task front of mind, that I found it easy. But there's nothing with regards to the specifics of the stress thing. It didn't take anything else. It didn't take anything else other than, I guess, also understanding that stress wouldn't help. knowing that if I was stressed about the situation, it would not make the snow go away. It would not get me to New York faster. And if anything, it would frazzle my brain more and I would make bad decisions. And as soon as I understood that, then I just decided not to. And I can't believe, but bear in mind, though, I think there are situations where stress is good. You know, if you're getting chased by a wild animal, be stressed. You know, run the fuck away. You know, it's not like, you know, stress is a survival mechanism, I guess, to some degree. But for most things that we are facing today, they're not life and death, and they're not situations that can be improved by adding stress.
I love it. That's really useful advice. Thank you, Rich. It's nice sometimes to for you and I not to get pissed off about things and to actually add some value. Thanks, man.
Awesome. Thanks, dude. Cool.
Rich Mulholland, thank you. The Reality Check, Mondays, about 7:45. Get some helpful advice. He's right, though. You choose to be stressed or you choose not to. Like, you had this medical thing last week. You had this episode. And you couldn't. There's no way out of that if you're going to get stressed.
No.
Start freaking out and start going crazy. You need to take a moment to breathe deeply and relax. Stressing is not going to help you.
No, it's not going to help.
Right. See, I get stressed. He gets very anxious.
Sure. Don't even get me started, but it's fine.
Stop.
We woosa. We woosa and breathe.
All right. So let's get into our discussion. We're going to give you a flashback quickly to an interview we did with Waldemar Pelser. He is the, he's the report editor. I don't know if he's still a report editor, but he's certainly still on CakeNet. He's got his own show, which is growing and growing in the ratings as far as I can tell. A lot of people watch it. And he broke away from the staid and stuffy world of newspapers and shares his journey from editing his school newspaper to a Rhodes Scholarship to his new and exciting challenges in the media. Waldemar Pelser, a replay of that interview, and we've actually got to get him back in here at some point. See, he's a fascinating dude and has some interesting points of view about lots of the things that are going on in current affairs and in politics. So, without further ado, let's get straight to that. It's Monday morning, cliffcentral.com. Don't forget Auto Central coming on a little bit later on. They're talking about cars, bikes, 4x4s, and more. It's the Expert Motoring Infotainment Podcast, and it's live this morning at 9 if you want to be a part of the live recording. Otherwise, download the podcast just afterwards.
This is cliffcentral.com.